Good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH. I'm your host, Mary Scanlon, and joining me today is Dr. Jay Kimmel from Greater Hartford Orthopedic Group. Staying active with outdoor winter sports is a great way to get some exercise and fresh air through the winter seasons. However, you should take caution. Every year, more than 400,000 people are treated for winter sports-related injuries from skiing, snowboarding, ice skating, sledding. There's a whole laundry list of them. Joining us today is Dr. Jay Kimmel of Greater Hartford Orthopedic Group. He's going to help you and your kids stay healthy and safe in the great outdoors this winter. Welcome, Dr. Kimmel.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks for coming in this morning. Why don't you tell us, we'll start with you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an orthopedic surgeon who specializes in sports medicine. I'm with Greater Hartford Orthopedics. We're out of St. Francis Hospital. I have partners that see patients with spine and hand and foot and ankle problems, and I specialize in the shoulder and knee injuries.
Winter weather. It's got to be a ton of knee injuries, winter weather, whether it's a sports-related or just slipping on ice. These are all things that people should keep in mind as they head into the holiday season and beyond. Now, what are typical injuries that you see at this time of year?
Well, we see a lot of injuries in the winter. There's a couple of different groups of injuries. First, you have the injuries that occur as a result of all the winter sports that we enjoy in this area. We live in a great place here in New England, which gives us an opportunity to ski and to snowboard and to sled. But with that comes a lot of injuries that we see in our practice. There's also a whole bunch of people who get injured just being outside and doing the kind of things that you need to do here in New England, such as shoveling snow. Or
man, I didn't even think about that S word yet.
Yeah.
It's going to be here before we know it, though, that's for sure. People just aren't stretching correctly. Why do you think we typically have more injuries in the wintertime? Do you think we have more injuries in the wintertime?
There's no question statistically that there's more injuries, whether they be from the sports that we talked about or sometimes people get injured, I think, in the winter when you live in a place like New England, because especially for some of the weekend warriors, we're all interested in participating in indoor sports, maybe basketball or tennis, but we're in a hurry, and we go from our warm house into the car, and we run out to wherever we're going. And a lot of times we don't take the time to really stretch and prepare for those sports. And when muscles are cold, they're tight, and when they're tight, it leads to a lot more injuries, such as sprains and strains.
And we're all a little older than we'd like to admit, too. I'm not going to lie. I stepped on a curb the other day, and I was like, my hamstring is killing me. What's going on? So, you know, age is a factor, too, that we all still think we can do all the same things that we used to do.
And we definitely want to, and hopefully we'll continue to, but maybe we just need to take a little bit more time than we did when we were kids. Maybe we need to take a little time, and if it's at all possible, get to the basketball court or the tennis court a little bit earlier than perhaps we might have, and take the time and warm up. It turns out it's not really so much the stretching as it is the warming up. A lot of the studies have shown that it helps to warm the muscles up, maybe do a little bit of stretching, and then play the sports. And then don't forget, it's really important, especially in the winter when you're playing some of those indoor sports, to stretch afterwards. A lot of the studies have shown that stretching after is actually more important than stretching before.
Now, why is that?
Well, we're not really sure, but I can tell you that when you're playing, and if you say you're playing basketball and you're running up and down the court, or you're playing tennis and going across the tennis court, your muscles may get a little bit injured. And then when muscles are injured,
just like wear and tear, not an injury, but a wear and tear kind
correct.
Of, they're working.
They're working. And sometimes afterwards they stiffen up. And as you know, sometimes if you've been very active, it's the next day that you feel that stiffness.
So you're achy and sore.
Exactly. So if you took a little time afterwards and stretched after, sometimes some of that soreness the next day may go away.
Now, I've heard everybody talking about you would rather have broken the bone than had a strain or a ligament tear, or that those are injuries that are much more likely to take longer to heal than something like a bone break. Is this true? Am I making things up right now?
Well, you're not making up. There's certainly some situations, for example, in the knee, where if you tear one of the ligaments in your knee, particularly the anterior cruciate ligament, which is the ligament
the ACL,
which is torn in indoor sports such as basketball, but also it's torn a lot in skiing, that if you tear your ACL, many times it'll take 6 months or a year to recover from it.
Lindsey Vonn just did it again.
She did.
Poor thing. And she had just had it repaired. But the procedure's changed so much. My boyfriend Wes has had his ACL done on both knees, and one knee is old school style, looks like Frankenstein. He had it done in the early 90s, and the new one is like little itty bitty scars that are just so tiny you wouldn't even know.
Well, we've really come a long way, and there's a lot that we can do with ACL reconstructions. And as you said, we can do them arthroscopically through very small incisions. But the thing that we haven't been able to change is that it still takes a long time for whatever reconstruction we do to heal.
Now, what's the Here's the other thing that I'm curious about. Some people just have knee problems their whole life when growing up, not necessarily as a result of playing sports or anything significant. We're just born with weaker knees or weaker ACLs. Is the integrity different from person to person?
Well, the incidence of ACL injuries in females is much greater than males.
Is it really?
It really is. And that's why you talk about Lindsey Vonn, or you look at some of the basketball players that we've all heard about. The incidence of serious knee injuries, ACL injuries, in females in some sports is 5 or 6 times as much as it is guys. And that does have a little bit to do with the way people are built. Mm-hmm. But it turns out, and this is really interesting, that it turns out that we think, and we actually know now, that girls tend to tear their ACLs more than boys, because a lot of times when they're participating in sports, they actually run and jump and particularly land differently than boys.
Which is very interesting, because that's where I'm going to go next. My nieces both play indoor and outdoor soccer, and as part of their conditioning, we had set them up where they would go to a specific clinic. They go see Pete, mm-hmm. and he teaches them how to fall.
Exactly, and there have been so many good studies that have shown now very, very clearly that if you take girls or you take young women and you teach them how to jump and to land in a more protective fashion, that you can actually decrease the rate of those injuries. And it's unfortunate that we can't take all the girls and teach them that. That's something that we really should try to do.
And maybe coaches should implement more. Like, if I believe it's more of a collapse. And I know it's a learned behavior. You just have to do it repetitively, but to learn how to collapse and not fight the fall, I guess.
Correct. And a lot of times landing in a more protective position, landing instead of with your knee straight, but with your knee in a flex position, can definitely decrease the rate of ACL tears.
Now, let's talk about typical injuries through the winter months. We're talking about the ACL as the most important ligament of the knee. We just discussed that with skiing, but maybe indoor soccer or basketball. Does it fall under the same auspice as that?
Absolutely. So you can tear your ACL outside skiing. It's a very common ski injury. A lot of times that's due to the way that you fall, again, in a non-protected manner. And indoors, certainly in basketball and indoor soccer, you see a lot of ACL injuries, and again, particularly in women.
Because there's also a transition from playing soccer necessarily out on the grass and then coming into an indoor arena. It's a completely different surface, and so the stopping and starting is completely different when you're running on it.
That's true, and there's been a lot of improvements in the indoor surface, and it used to be years ago that it was thought that there were a lot more injuries on the turf, and there was even a couple of studies a couple of years ago showing that that there were more serious knee and some serious ankle injuries on the turf compared to grass fields. It's not exactly clear if that's all true, but certainly on some of the indoor older surfaces that the kids play on, and actually some of the weekend warriors play on too, there's no doubt that that those surfaces lead to more knee and ankle injuries.
What's interesting is the outdoor field at Rocky Hill High School, where my nieces play, is actually an artificial turf. And I just remember a time in football, so I guess they're going from artificial turf to artificial turf, but I remember a time in football where turf toe was the big thing, and everybody talked about turf toe. Is that still something that comes up?
It still does. There's a lot of injuries.
What is turf toe exactly?
It's actually
it's fun to say.
It's an injury to your great toe. It's an injury to your big toe when you sort of stub it on the turf, and it can happen actually on the grass as well. And you'd think that it would be a relatively minor injury. It's just a toe. But many times those injuries can sideline an athlete for many, many months. And
people take for granted that big toe, the piggy that goes to market, he's the one that keeps your balance for you. It really affects you if you injure that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So there's no way to technically prevent a turf toe injury from happening?
No.
No, it's just the luck of the draw, I guess, huh? My boyfriend bowls. He bowls twice a week. Monday, Tuesday, back-to-back. Sometimes he bowls on weekends. I used to bowl. I bowl with a 14-pound ball. His is much heavier. He's starting to feel a little shoulder pain. And I tell him it's from either your technique or bowling. You're bowling too much. Is there something he should be doing stretching-wise for an indoor activity in the wintertime like bowling?
You know, there's a lot that you can do. You know, as we get older, sometimes we just want to go out there and we want to have fun and we want to bowl. But maybe it would be good for him to take a little bit of time, and especially if he's having some symptoms, not only to work on his technique, but maybe to warm up his arm and warm up his shoulders. There's a whole bunch of great exercises that you can do to warm up your shoulder prior to playing. And then, as we talked about before, something that all of us, including myself, forget about is the stretching after. So after he's out there
bowling,
he should definitely do some stretches, and I'd be happy to show you some stretches later that he can do. It turns out that in the shoulder in particular, a little bit of tightness in the shoulder, particularly in the back of the shoulder, can lead to a lot of injuries. And it turns out that there's a really easy fix for that. It just has to do with stretching appropriately.
So a bowling injury, though, if he doesn't take care of it and he doesn't take care of the stretching and what is it called? Oh, I forgot. My friend had the surgery, the rotator cuff. If it is something like that, geez, that kind of injury can happen pretty easily during winter sports as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are times that the rotator cuff is going to tear and there's not much that you can do about it. If you fall on your shoulder or you're really someone who does a lot of repetitive activities, you can get a rotator cuff tear. But again, our academy has done a lot of work on this, and it turns out that if you do the appropriate exercises, you warm up, and particularly in the shoulder, you can strengthen your shoulder. A lot of us do overhand sports. I'm a tennis player. I play a lot of tennis, and we don't take the appropriate time as we get older to really spend some time and working on strengthening some of the muscles that get out of balance as we get older.
So a little strength training as well as the stretching.
Absolutely. We talked about the stretching a lot, but we didn't really talk about the strength training. And it turns out that particularly those muscles behind your shoulder are incredibly important. The muscles of your upper back and your scapular, those muscles are the muscles that are very important to strengthen to prevent shoulder injuries. And a lot of times it helps performance. It may help Wes to become a better bowler.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to let him know about that one. We'll finally get that 300 in the bag. Now, typically we are discussing the sports injuries, but if you don't play sports, injuries can happen all winter long. Patients must come into practice. They might have been trying to be a little bit younger than they should have been, sledding with the kids, or even just getting ice off the roof or scraping your car. What kind of type of injuries are you seeing?
Well, we can start with sledding because our academy, the Academy of Sports Medicine and the Pediatrics Academy, have really tried to get the word out about the importance of safety while sledding. Sledding is a great activity for kids and the family, and we live in an area where usually you can do those kind of things, but we really want to try to make sure that we don't have any serious injuries. A lot of the serious injuries in sledding are not orthopedic ones; they're head injuries. So I would want to get the word out that it's very important that when kids are sledding, that they're in a safe area.
No trees.
They're not near a road. We all recommend, and we don't really see this a lot, but we recommend that the kids wear helmets when they're skiing. A lot of times they are starting to, fortunately, do that skiing and
snowboarding.
And snowboarding, but sometimes they don't do that, even if they have one when they're sledding. And most importantly, they really should never sled head first. It seems like a fun thing to do.
Go feet first. Same as I tell my son, who's 18 months, how to get off the couch. Feet first.
Exactly.
Same deal with sledding. That's good to remember because in second grade, Bobby Green, when I was in second grade, he broke his ribs, and I'll never forget it because he was on sledding and went sideways into a tree. So it's pretty dangerous, but you don't want to give it up. We live in Connecticut. You're supposed to still have a little fun.
Absolutely. And part of the not-so-fun part of living in Connecticut is shoveling snow, and we may get some this weekend. And that's a whole other area where we see injuries, and particularly myself, who see so many people with shoulder injuries. We see a lot of people who are not necessarily that active. As you pointed out, they may not be involved in sports, but they're going to get out there and they're going to shovel the snow, and that's great, and that's a wonderful activity. But again, it's important to do it in moderation. You don't want to go out there, and if you're not used to being active, you don't want to be out there for 3 or 4 hours. You want to go slowly. If you're starting to feel any pain in your shoulder, it's your body's way of telling you that you're doing too much.
Yeah,
cut it out. And certainly if you're feeling any kind of shortness
of
breath or chest pain.
Because that's where we all first go to when we talk about shoveling snow, is we worry about cardiac events from happening. But it's good to know if you start to feel pain in your shoulder, take a break. Can you maybe switch sides shoveling? Like, you know how we all shovel with a dominant hand? Maybe try and do it on the other side and even the pain out.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Then take breaks. Just always remember to take breaks when you're shoveling. And you know what? There is no harm, no foul in calling someone and paying someone to do it for you. Keep our economy moving and take a break yourself. You're listening to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH. I'm your host, Mary Scanlon. My guest is Dr. Jay Kimmel from the Greater Hartford Orthopedic Group. And we're talking about winter sports injuries that can happen from playing indoor sports, as well as stuff that can go along with shoveling and sledding and all the other winter activities that we take part in Connecticut and New England. Now, not everybody likes to be outside in the cold weather. Let's talk about indoor athletes and some tips that they can go with to prevent injuries from happening in the first place.
Well, first of all, it's important as you go from outdoors to indoors, as we talked about a little bit, make sure that you have adequate time for warm-up and stretching. Don't forget about hydration. We all think about staying hydrated when we're outside on a hot day.
Hot, sweaty soccer game outside. You're dry, you drink water.
But you know, when you're indoors, that's equally important, and sometimes you don't have as much access to it when you're indoors, so it's important to remember to stay hydrated. We talked a little bit about stretching afterwards, but let's not forget about just general conditioning, especially if you weren't that active in the fall. Maybe you were really active in the summer, and then the fall sometimes tends to be a period where we may not be as active. Make sure that you do some conditioning before you really hit the basketball court or the tennis court or even some of the other indoor activities.
Okay, so we're not talking about just light cardio, keeping your cardio up. Of course, you need that for endurance. When you play any sport, you want to be in shape so you can stay up and active in the game. But what kind of conditioning are we talking about? Lightweight work? Yoga? I'm throwing it out there because I really don't know.
Well, I think light conditioning, a little bit of cardio work, a little bit of stretching and strengthening exercises, particularly for, one thing we really haven't talked about is the importance of core strengthening. That's very important for all of these sports. And we talked a little bit about the shoulder, and we talked a little bit about the knee and the exercises. But if you talk to any of the physical therapists or athletic trainers, the first thing that they will talk with you about is the importance of core strengthening. And that's something that you can do year-round, which can really help when you're doing one of those indoor sports.
Okay, so let's just give a for instance on something someone can do to build their core that maybe they don't have a gym membership. That's something they can do at home. Is there any activity that they can do to build core muscles?
Well, there are a lot of great exercises. If you go to the American Academy of Sports Medicine website, they'll Stop Sports Injuries, which is another excellent website for your listeners to go to. There's a lot of exercises that you can do. You can do exercises for your abdominals. You can do variations of sit-ups, and then there are exercises that you can do for the back and your glutes. You can
I'm
do
not gonna
bridges.
Lie. I just had two kids. I have an 18-month-old and a 6-month-old, and I moved in bed this morning and I pulled something in my lower stomach. It's terrible. But I was speaking to a friend about it, and she said to do the plank challenge with her.
Well, you know, I was just going to get to the plank, because that's a great exercise and a very challenging one that I've too have tried to do over the years, not necessarily successfully.
I've never met anyone who says they love a plank, but they love the results they get from doing planks.
It's hard to stick with it, but if you could continue to do planks, it's a great exercise, and you certainly have an excuse for needing a little bit of extra time to do
this.
You hear that?
I have an excuse. Okay, so the plank, we get down on the ground, we get our forearms straight, and we got to remember to keep your tush down. Proper form is important, and you said there's a website that people can go to check out?
The American Academy of Sports Medicine, so it's AOSSM.org. And another excellent resource for what we've talked about, particularly for kids, is StopSportsInjuries.org.
So check out those websites. Also, I'm sure you'll find it on Facebook somewhere, the plank challenge, where you start with 6-second planks and then you work your way up through a 30-day program. And she's at like 6 minutes right now. And I'm like, are you crazy? 6 minutes of planking? But she says she's never felt better in her life. And it's all just core muscles. So you're right. It all begins in your center. You got to center your chakras. Now, kids, let's talk about kids' injuries and you being a surgeon. Now, your child plays indoor soccer, has an injury. Do you typically go right for surgery on somebody who's super young, or do we try and fix this first? How young can someone have an ACL surgery or a shoulder surgery even?
Well, fortunately, children are a little bit more pliable than we are. And, of course, if they do tear their ACL, and we can talk a little bit about that, but a lot of times the injuries that kids have are not surgical injuries.
Okay.
Many times when children hurt themselves, non-surgical treatments are completely fine. In reference to the specific issue of young children with ACL injuries, it's actually because the kids are so active now at such an early age, since the kids are playing soccer year-round at a very high level, or basketball at a very high level, we're seeing more and more ACL injuries in young children. And it turns out that sometimes surgery is needed for that. Otherwise, you're going to wind up telling these children to not be active. And these are the kind of kids who just want to be out there playing. So, well, it's a difficult thing to recover from, particularly the doctors at Children's Hospital who do a lot of this are really good at fixing up the young kids with growth left and getting them back to sports.
So we've discussed a little bit about bowling, a little bit about soccer, a little about basketball and skiing, but we forgot about cheerleading. Because cheerleaders, everybody thinks that they're on the sidelines yelling rhymy things along and with pom-poms. Cheerleaders are serious business. This is no joke. The activities, the tossing, being flyers, being catchers, it's crazy. What kind of cheerleading injuries have you seen?
We see a lot of cheerleader injuries, particularly at the football games. And as you said, you know, cheerleading is not just being out there and doing cheering. A lot of times it involves stunts and activities that are really amazing. And we would just hope that the cheerleaders would try to remain as safe as possible and to prepare adequately and to make sure that they have the strength to do some of the amazing things that they can do.
All right, just to remind everybody, what precautions should everyone take? Cheerleading, bowling, skiing, snowboarding, you name it, soccer, basketball. What are the precautions everyone should take this winter season to prevent, possibly, a winter injury?
Well, first, make sure that if it's an outdoor sport, that you have the appropriate clothing and the appropriate equipment. We didn't really talk about that in detail, but certainly when you're skiing or snowboarding, it's important to have the appropriate clothing. We don't want to see any frostbite type injuries, even though those are not orthopedic ones. We want to make sure that the bindings and the skis work correctly,
to try
proper fits to make sure we don't have any injuries from that. We talked a little bit about hydration and the importance of that.
So water in winter. Don't give up on the water, along with your, 8-10 ounce glasses a day. If you are doing any activity, add to that.
Mm-hmm. And also, if the weather is really bad, sometimes it's not an orthopedic issue, but just common sense that if there's really bad weather, that you put off that sport for the day.
As well as with shoveling and cleaning off your car and taking care of ice on your walkways, remember to take breaks. If you start to feel pain, even outside of a cardiac event even, take breaks. If you feel pain in your shoulder, take a break, switch sides, call someone to have them come shovel it for you.
Great idea.
And avoid participating in sports when you're in pain or exhausted, because that's the easiest way to get an injury is playing tired.
That's right. You know, there's been a lot of data that has shown that a lot of the injuries do occur at the end of the day. I always thought that was just something that we thought but wasn't really true. But it turns out that the incidence of injuries is actually higher later in the game. It's almost always because people are tired. So if you're really tired, maybe you don't take that last run at the end of the day when you're skiing.
Thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Jay Kimmel from the Greater Hartford Orthopedic Group. Where is the office located?
Well, we're at St. Francis Hospital, and we have offices in Enfield and Rocky Hill and Avon and Suffield.
And we can go for more information to your website at?
CTortho.com.
Or call you at 860-728-6740. Thank you so much for coming in and joining us today to talk about winter injuries and beyond. Dr. Jay Kimmel, Greater Hartford Orthopedic Group. And thank you for joining us this morning as well for Spotlight. I'm Mary Scanlon on Light 100.5 WRCH.